But God was speaking to me about being able to sense God during the storm. How many of you felt like you did sense the Lord in the storm? In the midst of Hurricane Harvey, your testimony is that you felt the Lord. You sensed Him there. You sensed Him there. And I want to, you know, so let me just read this to you. Matthew 14, verse 22. It says this: immediately, that's one of the favorite Bible word there. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowd. After He had dismissed them, He went up on a mountainside by Himself to pray. And later that night, He was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's You," Peter replied, "tell me to come to You on the water." "Come," He said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out His hand and caught him. "You of little faith," He said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Charlie Brown, we know who he is, right? The cartoon character. One day he built a beautiful sandcastle. And he worked on it for hours. I mean, he really works on it. And you know, it was a beautiful sandcastle. And then in the cartoon, the next thing you know, a huge rainstorm came and just leveled his sandcastle. And he stood there on level ground. And the next frame has Charlie Brown standing there. And he's saying, "I know there's a lesson in this, but I'm not sure what it is." Now, I honestly, we can't compare the great losses that our community has had to a sandcastle. Charlie Brown spent several hours building his sandcastle. People have spent decades building businesses, building homes, paying for homes. And some people have lost many, many, many dollars worth of things. And so the question has to be, you know, what is this all about? Why a hurricane? Why a storm? You know, storms actually do have a purpose in our life. Let me just touch really quickly on several things that storms could reveal about you and I. First of all, they revealed the nature of my faith. How many of you saw that on the news, right? You could tell the believer who had lost everything because they were talking about Jesus in the midst of that storm. The nature of their faith shone through like a bright, brilliant light to the thousands around the country, by the way, who were listening. It reveals the strength of our commitment. You know, some people, when the storm comes, that's it. They're stopped serving the Lord. They go out on their own. But let me tell you, those who go through a storm and have a commitment to the Lord, they keep persevering. Am I right? It reveals the level of our maturity. It reveals the healthiness of my attitude, right? It reveals even how teachable I am. And so the first thing I want everyone to know is that everybody goes through a storm. Am I right? Doesn't matter who you are. I think of the scripture that says He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Everybody got rain. Am I right? And nobody didn't have any rain. Could testify that they had no rain at their place. And so we have to ask ourselves, well, why do storms come? And let me just say that sometimes storms come because people are out of the will of God. That's what happened to Jonah. Remember Jonah? He was supposed to go to Nineveh to preach to the people there, to tell them to repent. He didn't want to go. And the scripture tells us in the book of Jonah chapter 1 and verse 4, says, "Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up." Wow. For Jonah, that was really a powerful thing, wasn't it? Now, I tell you, today, we cannot link Hurricane Harvey to any one person. Am I right? Harvey didn't come because of one person's sin. And so we have to say to ourselves, well, you know, what is this with about a hurricane? What is it? I'm going to write an article and put it up on the web. Is Hurricane Harvey a sign of the end times? So you can watch for that. I'm going to give you a biblical reasons why it is and why it isn't. Let me know, there's always been hurricanes. Am I right? There's a biblical explanation for why there's storms in life. Why the explanation is that because sin has entered into the human race, our planet is groaning. Our planet is feeling the groans and yes, it's because of corporate sin that we even have storms in the first place. Am I right? But we can't link that to any one person, you know? But maybe, as some have said, even today, if people have left God out of their life, it's a quick reminder that, listen, your material possessions, they can be gone in an instant, right? But God is our foundation. He lasts forever. And then, interestingly enough, how many of you realize that some storms come because you're in the will of God? Am I right? Absolutely. Sometimes you're in a storm because you are in the will of God. In our text today that we just read, it says immediately, verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Jesus had them get into the boat, told them go to the other side. They couldn't have been more in the will of God at that moment. And so just think of these guys. They're tough sailors and they're out there. The wind is blowing and maybe tornadoes, and they could see all of that and lightning and wind and waves. And one of them says, you know, Jesus told us to come out here. He's the one that sent us on this expedition. You can be right in the midst of the will of God and find yourself in a great storm. That's true. That's true. Look at Job, right? Think of Job. Everything that he went through. You know, he lived such a good life that the devil got upset and went to God and asked permission to try him. Right? But how many of you know Job got double for his trouble? Come on, somebody. Amen. How about Joseph? Sold as a slave, years in prison, slandered by his boss's wife, forgotten, ignored, and yet he was in the center of God's will. And sometimes storms just happen, am I right? But the bigger question today is not, why are there storms? The biggest question is, what does Jesus do for us in the midst of a storm? And I want to quickly give you three things that He does for us today in the midst of a storm. The first thing that He does is He prays for us. I want to remind you of that. Scripture says that after he dismissed the crowd, Jesus went up on a mountainside to pray. It says later that night he was there alone, and in that same sentence, he says the boat was already considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. How many of you think that Jesus was praying for his disciples out there in the midst of the lake, right? How many of you have ever experienced the joy of being prayed for? It's a wonderful thing when people pray for you. How many of you got a text across this storm where someone said, I'm praying for you, that God will keep you safe? Didn't that make you feel a little bit better that some of your church family, your friends, whoever it might be, they're texting you, they're saying, listen, I'm praying for you. You mean something enough for me to pray for you. It's a blessing to get prayed for. Let me tell you, my grandma Millsaps in Waco, Texas, she prayed for me every day. Jareen's mom and dad, they pray for us every single day. And I'm so grateful for that. It's wonderful when family and friends pray. But let me tell you something that's even greater, that when friends pray, is that Jesus Christ Himself is interceding for you and for me. Come on. Hebrews 7:25 talks about Jesus being our intercessor. He says, therefore He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him because He always lives to intercede for them. I want you to think about that today. When the Harvey was blowing and the winds and the waves and all of that, let me tell you what Jesus was doing. He was at the right hand of the Father and He was calling out our names. He was saying, God, those are my children down there. Keep your hand upon them. I died for them. Oh, come on, somebody. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves us enough that He today is at the right hand praying for us? He's ever interceding for you and for me. And then the second thing that He does is He comes to us. During the storm of life, He's not a God away up there. He's a God that's present. Amen. He's not a million miles away. He's not gone in the, because just because Harvey came, God did not disappear. Hello? Come on. He's everywhere all the time. And let me tell you something. For those who seek Him and know Him and walk in, you can sense His manifested presence in your life. You can know that He's there. He comes to us in the storms. Many years ago, a military officer and his wife were aboard a ship that was suddenly caught in a raging ocean storm. And the wife had never been on a boat, never let alone out in the middle of the ocean in a huge storm. You can imagine what it must have been like in those days with no warning. And the typhoon comes and the hurricane comes. And she was desperate. She was full of fear. And she finally grabbed her husband's arm and she said, "How can you be so calm?" And he had her stand back. And in those days, military men wore swords, right? And so he pulled his sword out and he pointed it at her. And he says, "Are you afraid of this sword?" She says, "Absolutely not, because I know the person who's holding the sword in his hand. I'm not afraid because I know you and I know that you love me and you care for me." He said, "The reason why I can be so calm is because I know the one who holds the winds and the waves in his hands. I know the one who knows how to take care. I know that he's the one who would promise that he would always be with us and never leave us or forsake us." Let me tell you about Jesus. He comes at the darkest hour. Right? I love verse 25. It says, "Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them." He sent them out while it was night. But just before dawn. How many of you know that's the darkest moment? That's the darkest moment. But He came. And how many of you realize today that, you know, we don't have to wait for Him to come to us? Come on. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He was always with us. He's always there right beside us. He's right there. He's as close as the mention of His name, as the old song says. Sometimes deliverance takes a while. Am I right? Sometimes we've got to wait for the rain to stop. Sometimes we've got to wait. But let me tell you something. He does hear our cries. And then what He does as well, He comes to us victorious over our greatest fears. I think sometimes God has a sense of humor in a way. The disciples were worried about the wind and the waves and the storm. And they were all, you know, wondering about all of that. And now picture it in your mind. Here comes Jesus walking on top of all of that. Walking on top of it. Now just stop and think about that. What we're worried about is underneath His feet. Right? Jesus walked on the winds and the waves. Amen. What we're worried about, the thing that stresses us out the most, the thing that puts fear in our hearts the most. Let me tell you something. Jesus will come to you and He will say, "Listen, that thing is underneath my feet." Come on, somebody. Everything has been put underneath His feet. He's highly exalted. Come on. If you're sick, He comes walking over top of your sickness. If you're afraid of death, let me tell you what He does. He comes out of the grave on Easter. Walking on the waves of death, He's standing on the stone and saying this, "I can do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ever ask or think." Come on. The very thing that causes you to stumble or falter, that thing that causes you to worry and have fear, He walks on it. Give Him praise today. I love Isaiah 41:43. Maybe some of you claim this scripture. But now this is what the Lord says. "He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you." Is there anybody in here who's been redeemed? Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so today. Amen. "I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Woo! He comes to us in the midst of the storm. He's there with us. And then number three, He ministers to us. Amen? He ministers to us in the midst of the storm. I love verse 26 and 27. It says, "When the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.'" Amen. There are a lot of people who think that we need to understand everything. I'll be honest with you. I don't trust somebody who says they've got it all figured out. They know everything. I've been around long enough to realize there ain't nobody know everything but God. Hello? He's the only one that understands all of it. I don't understand all that there is to know. And you know, us pastors, we're about the worst in like that sometimes, you know, with our sermon titles. Am I right? Our series titles. You know what I'm saying? 4 steps to victory. 6 ways to get your prayers answered. 3 ways to know God. Divine keys to ultimate victory. Come on. And it just sounds like we know everything that there is to know. But what do you do, my friend, when the storm's still blowing and you've already initiated the keys? You've already activated the ways to know God. You've already tried all the things that you know to get your prayers answered. 4 steps to victory. Let me tell you, sometimes you don't need a sermon. Am I right? Sometimes that's the last thing in the world you need. What you need is Jesus, the Son of the living God, the one that walks upon the water, the one that's not afraid. You need Him to come and say to you, listen, hey, it's me. I got this. Don't worry. Chill out. Relax. Go to sleep. Enjoy the day. Come on. Because you know something? I've got this and I'm able to take care of you. I'm able to do more than you can even imagine. That's who I am. I'm the King of glory. I'm King over the flood. I'm the Prince of peace. I'm not a bit afraid about what's going on. Amen. Sometimes you just need the Spirit of the living God to minister to your spirit to say, don't be afraid. So many years ago when DJ would get sick he really only wanted one thing. I'd like to tell you that it was his daddy, but it wasn't. It was his mama. As long as she could just be there right with him, he was okay. How many of you know that that's a picture of us with the Lord, right? When we're in distress, we just need Him to be with us, to come and to minister to us. And would you stand with me today? I just wanted to share those little thoughts with you today. Amen. That you can sense Him even in the midst of the storm. Even in the midst of the storms of life, you can know that He's always there. Amen. God is with us today. And I want you to leave here today with assurance in your spirit and in your soul that God will never leave you or forsake you. He's going to be there to help you. That's the key there, Brother DeMarie. Amen. Good to see you here today, bro. Amen. Amen.